everyone, and welcome into episode number 277 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
I was sitting back.
Oh, okay. Heaven forbid you're ready for an episode. But we are awake. I think that it's been a week and a half, and I've recovered from my hangover.
We are well fed.
You're already well into the next hangover.
Woohoo! You know me too well, boss. All right, so this episode, we are going to have some facts. We will try to guess said facts. We will talk about them, and then your host will ask them in a question at your trivia event, and you will feel really smart because you know the answers.
Excellent summary.
Yes. So that is our podcast. Welcome to first-time listeners. Last week, we all talked about hockey, and we kind of had a little bit of a theme. This week, we have no theme. We're going rogue.
Right. Well, no theme that we're aware of because we don't share generally our interesting facts with each other until right now because we want to have like actual reactions and discussions and not get into them beforehand.
That's true.
So last week we weren't 100% sure that we would have a theme, but we ended up with a very strong theme,
which made sense really in retrospect. Yeah. We had to make sure that we didn't have the same facts, which has happened more times on this than you'd think.
Yeah. No, it's amazing.
Things are interesting, I guess. Interesting things are interesting.
Yeah. All right, Michael, why don't you go first?
Okay.
I agree.
Well, actually, mine's a little bit of... Mine actually ties in what you were just saying.
That interesting things are interesting?
Well, about, you know, now that we're caught up on sleep and stuff like that. Uh-huh. My facts about sleep.
Oh, wow. Yeah. There you go.
You're so proud of your transition.
I am very, very proud of that transition.
He's been working on it all week.
Yes. I knew Lindsay would come back. He was like, hey, okay, she's going to hit, like, the sleep and the
right.
Perfect.
All right.
Okay. So this is a...
Get on with it. No.
Yeah. I'm working on it. Wow.
You're putting me to sleep. Is that your fact? How quickly Michael can make me fall asleep?
Moving on. Nick, what do you... Now, so this is a study done by Deloitte.
Cool. Okay. Heard of them?
You have. Good. So basically, they asked a bunch of people about their phone habits and in relation to their sleep. Basically, how long before you sleep do you look at your phone?
90% of phones covered in feces.
What do you do while you sleep?
I don't know. Isn't that a fact about phones?
I don't know how you sleep, but I think you're sleeping wrong.
isn't that a fact that 90% like, most of phones have all like the really nasty bacteria? They're like worse than money now.
So I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that everything is 90% covered in feces. Okay. That's just how the human race works.
Okay. Well.
Okay.
I don't sleep with my phone in my butt. Just for the record.
And there is your interesting fact, or your secret phrase. Lindsay does not sleep with her phone in her butt.
There you go. Glad we got out of the way early.
So sleeping.
Yes. So anyway, they asked, according to the survey, what percentage of people look at their phone within 1 hour of them falling asleep?
100.
No.
Are they only asking people that own phones, I'm assuming?
These are only people that own smartphones.
Yeah. I'm assuming, yeah, people that don't have phones.
Yes, right. People with rotary phones.
Yeah, if you don't have a phone, you can't be a part of this.
Yeah, NA on the survey response.
Right. Okay, so is the question how many people answered that they don't do it, or how many people actually do it?
Because
100%.
We're going to go with it. I'm based on this survey, I guess we're going to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
According to.
Asked and answered, not reality.
Right.
Yeah. All right, Lindsay, you want to go?
I would think that it'd be... I feel like an hour is a long time, right?
First off, let's do this. Do you look at your phone within an hour of falling asleep?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, Michael?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Without question.
I like to... Joey and I will find pictures of puppies.
That's how you go to sleep every night? Yeah, like you don't actually talk to them. You just text pictures of puppies back and forth?
Yeah, from across the bed, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's fun... intimate moment in my life.
It's very tame compared to the other things you do with your phone.
I was a little concerned when those texts come in. Moving right along.
My eyes are rolled so far back in the back of my head. Okay, I think an hour is a long chunk of time before.
Now, I also have data step down as well. So an hour is kind of their max range.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then they have half an hour, 15 minutes, and 5 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So I would think that an hour before is going to be pretty high and be like 85% of people do.
I'm going to say based solely on whatever random unprofessional knowledge I have of how polls work.
Sure.
I'm going to say it's like 63%.
Okay. Lindsay is closer.
Okay.
At 81%.
Wow.
Nice.
That's pretty good.
Now
so there's 19% of the people asked in this poll are lying. Interesting.
Or it's like my parents that their phones are in the other room.
Like
they
like
leave
that.
Their phones plugged in the living room and they go to bed.
I like that.
So what happens if there's an emergency? They have a landline.
We have a landline. Yeah, okay. We had a landline back in California.
Yeah.
Oh.
So this is the one that's more interesting, and for everybody listening, this is the one that your host will use.
Okay.
How many? What percentage of people asked? Look at their phone within 15 minutes of going to sleep.
Within 15 minutes.
Half. Yes. Okay.
So you're saying 50%?
50%, yeah.
So 30% drop off.
Right. 10% every increment.
Okay. I think 15 minutes. I think it's going to be a little less than that. I'm going to say 44%.
According to this survey, Nick's dead on the money at 50%.
Nice. Yeah. Well
half,
done.
Half. Anybody who's looking at it an hour before, most of those people are looking at it 15 minutes before, too.
That's true.
I am definitely that way.
Right.
You right.
Yeah.
For those that couldn't see me on the audio-only podcast, that was me constantly checking my phone.
Yeah. See, the way I go to sleep at night is I put the kids to bed.
Sure.
I get in bed with my wife, and we watch a show or two. Then I get, when she falls asleep, I get out of bed.
I go play Xbox.
I do an hour or two of work or play Xbox or do something like that. And then when I shut off the Xbox or I shut off my computer, I go back upstairs, get in bed, and immediately fall asleep. I am not in my bed awake with the plan on going to sleep for more than 5 minutes at any given time.
That's smart, though. One of the biggest, most important life lessons I took from college was freshman year. I was having such a hard time falling asleep. Couldn't fall asleep. And then one of those, you know, like, life classes that you have to take that teaches you how to use the library and
personal development. It's or like whatever you they call every,
I didn't have to take those. That would have helped so much.
Yeah, it was like basic resources right. and time management, just like life skills.
Adulting 101.
Yeah. They didn't teach me how to do taxes. That would have been helpful.
Taxes, checkbook, how to apply for a home loan.
Yeah, but they said that your brain associates certain areas with
certain things.
Tasks, yeah. Yes. So if you go to your bed and you sleep, your brain will associate that with sleep, and then it gets you into a mindset. Or if you have like a particular desk or area of a house or office or workspace,
right?
And you work there, your brain will associate that with work.
Yes.
And so I stopped doing my homework in bed and then could fall asleep a lot easier, but
it's
that's life-changing.
Yeah, it's the same concept. This is the part of it that I learned when I was taking a psychology class or something like that in college, was that if you want to do better on the test, study in the room you're going to take the test in.
Mm.
Because there would be visual clues that could recall the information you were reading at the time when you were looking around the room or thinking. You look up at the light bulb that's up in the corner and, oh, that's right. The answer was this. I was reading it when I was last looking at that light bulb.
See, what I used to do.
The light bulb of the idea.
You see what I did there?
Yeah.
Is when I was studying, I'd listen to music.
Uh-huh.
And then I listened to kind of the same playlist. Right before the test, I put on that same playlist.
Uh-huh.
Wow, Michael.
And that was kind of
my
trigger.
Inceptioning yourself.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you listen to podcasts during the test in order to evoke those memories,
no,
you should have just recorded the answers to the test.
No, it was right before the test.
Got it.
Like,
okay.
Obviously, the headphones have to
that
come
makes
out
a
while
lot
taking
more sense.
The test.
Yeah.
But, like, it was all kind of like, oh, right.
Yeah.
It was just my trigger of bringing it all back.
Right. So,
very cool,
yeah,
Michael.
Absolutely. The different areas of the house for different things.
Yeah.
I guess I can go.
Yeah, I'll go last.
Okay, cool. So RIP to the Miss America swimsuit category. So I don't know. I don't really follow it that much.
I don't think anybody really does.
You know, I like the goofy videos come out when they answer something poorly. I like looking at the dresses. I think they're really pretty.
Sure.
You know, not something that really.
Right. I mean, can you name a Miss America winner? Or
Miss Nebraska? No, I don't know. I'm just going to start naming states.
Miss America, Miss Universe, Miss World, whatever the competition. Can you even name
Mr.
the
Mr. Worldwide? That's Pitbull.
That's Pitbull, yes. That is correct.
He's also Mr. 305.
Right.
Yeah.
But this is one of those, like, not only could I not name a winner, like, Vanessa Williams won one of them 25 or 35 years ago. Like, that's the most recent winner that I can pull.
I didn't know that.
Okay.
Yeah, I got nothing.
A little before my time. Anyway, so what I learned when the pageant was originally started, it was basically just a bathing suit competition, and then they started to add other categories and things. So two questions. Oh, and they used to award the winner. They were crowned while they were in a swimsuit.
Okay.
So when was the last Miss America winner to be crowned in a swimsuit? What year?
Oh.
I feel like it's going to be one of those that's like way more recent than should be acceptable.
Okay, so here's
like
what
1993.
Okay, I you know what? I think you're spot on with that.
Like, it's going to be one of those, like, oh, no, this is an outdated thing, and it's going to be, like, in our lifetime.
Right. It was, like, the last French guillotine execution was in 1979 or something like
that. 77,
yeah, because it was Star Wars is older.
Right.
Star Wars is older than
same
the execution.
Day.
It was the same week.
No,
or
it's
something
some
like
month. Okay. We've talked about it.
Regardless, here's what I do know about the Miss America pageant. I know that it was started, that it's always in September or October, because it was invented to extend the beach season in Atlantic City. So that's why it's always in that time of year, towards the at the very tail end of the summer, because they wanted to keep everybody there for another month to pomp and circumstance.
It would just attract tourism past Labor Day. Yep. And it was the first one. The inner city beauty pageant was first held in 1921 in Atlantic City.
Okay.
So
21 would be the start. When was the last time? I really like Michael's analysis of the situation. I don't have a better answer other than to build upon what you did. What did you say, 93?
I said 93.
I'm going to say it was 2007.
That they won? They awarded the crown?
While they were in
a
bathing
suit.
Yeah.
Oh,
building on Michael's mentality. That was the question, right?
Yes.
Yeah, building on Michael's mentality.
You're both way wrong.
Way too late. Okay.
You're both way wrong.
Right,
so,
that's what I get for trusting Michael.
Yeah. So it was in 1947, Miss America 1947.
Okay.
Barbara Jo Walker was the last to be crowned in a swimsuit.
Barbara Jo Walker. That was going to be the Miss America that I was going to name.
Yeah, so the clothing worn during the official crowning changed to evening gowns in 1948 because that's when they added intellect and personality were added officially to the judging ballot.
Okay.
So my follow-up question, dun, 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 when were bikinis allowed to be part of the swimsuit competition?
Whoa. I'm going to say mid-80s. Because the bikini was around earlier, and it would probably take them time to adapt to current social norms in order to insert it into such a prestigious event.
88.
Okay. Both of you guys still kind of in the same category.
Both way wrong again.
Yeah.
2007.
1997.
Wow.
So 1997 was a little bit late. That was they were allowed to wear bikinis at that point, but you still could not wear thongs. There were still some stipulations on them.
Wait, are they currently allowed to wear thongs?
I mean, no, they've never been.
Well, not anymore.
Okay.
They've never been allowed to wear thongs as part of their bikini, and they just got rid of the swimsuit portion. This was a couple months ago. They just announced it.
So now, quick clarifying question: they said you were allowed to wear bikinis in '97. Was it allowed, or did they now require two pieces?
No,
they were allowed.
Okay,
right.
Yeah,
no.
So
one piece swimsuits were still allowed.
Correct. Yeah, this is they weren't a Miss America approved style until 1997 because bikinis really started to get big in the 1960s.
Yes,
that was the big time for them. And the new board of the Miss America organization ditched the swimsuit, and they call the event a competition, not a pageant. So they don't call it a beauty pageant anymore. They're calling it a competition. So, and they're doing scholarships, so seems like it's cool.
Sadly, now that you say when it was, that triggers, like being in the same room at the right time, it triggers the memory in my head.
I don't want to go down this path.
So I
Nick
believe,
up on stage and it's supposed to...
So I believe that announcement came out the summer after I graduated high school. Because I graduated in 97, and that's like, that saying it triggers that thought.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, I lived through that. I remember it.
Right.
But it may be a false memory because you just put it there. So,
Inception.
Yeah.
Memoryception. All right. What do you got, Nick?
All right. Here's what I've got.
So 1997 just will be the answer.
Right.
The record.
Here is, all right. So there is, we're all about games here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like
we don't know either podcast. We're all about games. We're all about trivia. We're all about having fun.
I'm pro games.
Right.
I'm pro fun.
And we have internally
neutral fun.
You're neutral.
I don't. I'm not anti fun, but I'm not pro fun.
See, I'm in the chaotic fun part of the meme.
Wow, that turned nerdy
hurry. You see why I did that? So one of the things that we have talked about internally over the many, many years that this company has been operated, but have never actually done yet because it's too hard and I'm tired, is to create a scavenger hunt.
Yes.
Right? Like the Washington Post does a scavenger hunt here in D.C. every year. Scavenger hunts are big, geocaching and all of that stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. It's so fun.
It's a
My
ton
friend
of fun.
Proposed to his girlfriend that way. With
oh,
the
really?
They geocached stuff and they geocached the ring. And I was like, that seems like a real risky.
Yo.
but I think he had it in his pocket. I don't know.
On the topic of risky things to do, there is an eccentric multimillionaire. Okay. His name is Forrest Fenn.
I was going to be the Virgin Atlantic guy.
Yeah, no, no, not the original Hank guy. He would be a billionaire.
Branson. Yeah, that's true.
So basically what he did was he was looking around at all the kids and all the people on their phones all the time, just constantly looking at their phones, some of them within 15 minutes of going to sleep at night, and said people need to get out more.
Sure.
So what he did was he created a scavenger hunt. He took $2 million in gold, stuck it in a box, and put it somewhere in the Rocky Mountains. Okay.
I want to be a really rich person. I could do this. It'd be so fun.
As of the recording of this podcast, it has not been found.
Oh.
Okay.
Company retreat.
Yeah. So basically, he has put together, he published a book. He has a rhyme that has 9 clues as to where it's located within the rhyme that have to be deciphered. It is something that tens of thousands of people have gone into the Rocky Mountains pursuing to try to find. And to date, nobody has yet found it. Okay. Here is my question that we will ask during trivia this week. How many people have died in search of Fenn's treasure?
Whoa. Okay. That turned dark real quick.
Give me the date one more time. When was it?
It has been real roughly 6 years since he did it.
And it's still there?
It is still there. And fun fact, he is the only person who knows where it is. It is not written down. Its location will never be. If he dies, it disappears forever.
Wow.
He does not have like any contingency plans in place. Like if he gets hit by a bus, then a letter goes to a lawyer sort of thing. So if it goes, it's gone.
I am going to say 4.
Good guess.
I'm going to say 10.
Actually, it's only 2, although there have been a number of close calls.
Okay. Go on.
Just somebody recently. So basically, the poem, and I'll read the relevant section if I can find it. Okay, the second stanza of the poem. Begin it where the warm waters halt and take it in the canyon down. Not too far, but too far to walk. Put in below the home of Brown.
Okay, so okay. I'm picturing like a... like a tributary water meets something and you got to go underneath a waterfall or something like that.
So, yeah, that is a great interpretation of it.
Yeah, or a boat or something. Because that would be rude of him to bury it underwater, I think.
Yeah, very much so. Because
then it can move.
But it's $2 million. That's
yeah, right. It weighs still a lot.
Yeah, well, how are you going to get it out of the water? Like, it's not something you can see. I don't know.
So, that's exactly it. The most recent person died because they were searching around in the water for it.
Oh.
And got swept up and drowned.
Oh, that's so sad.
It is. It's very sad.
And this guy just wants to give people money. Like, he's got to have some guilt with
like
that.
And he's been interviewed about it. And his whole point is like, look, I just want people to get out of the house and have some fun with their families. Like, I was 80 years old when I put the money in the box and put it out there. I was an 80-year-old man. I did it all by myself. Like, don't go nuts about this. Like, it's not ridiculously hard to get to.
How did the other person die?
It does not have any information on how the first person died, but what it does say, somewhat cryptically, is the fourth line of the second stanza, put in below the home of Brown. So a lot of people have been going up into the Rocky Mountains looking for outhouses.
Oh.
And sort of going through the outhouses in order to attempt to find the $2 million box of gold.
That strikes me as somewhat crude. If you're going to put, like...
If you're gonna create a scavenger hunt where the prize is $2 million and the object is to have fun, I'm gonna go ahead out on a limb and guarantee that you didn't put it in an outhouse.
I'm gonna guarantee that as well. And my other thought is you'd want something a little bit more permanent than an outhouse.
Yeah.
One would think.
How corrosive is it, are feces? I don't know. My phone's still here.
Fairly.
Sorry, that's a callback from the earlier part of the episode.
That was last week's episode.
Was it? I don't know.
It was this. I believe it was a secret phrase last week.
No, I think it was this. No,
you did your sleep fact week. This
yeah,
week.
Yeah, it was the sleep fact.
Oh, was it?
It was this week. Oh, yeah.
It's so hard to keep track of everything. Yeah, Lindsay does not sleep with her phone in her butt.
Which is the secret phrase for today.
Yes, that is the secret phrase for this week. So, but yeah, it is a six stanza poem that gives you the directions. There are 9 clues hidden within the poem. And then since then...
Does it say where it starts? No, or is that part of the thing? It's just in the mountains.
It begins where the warm waters halt.
What if that's...
It is somewhere in the Rockies, somewhere between Santa Fe and the Canadian border.
That narrows it down.
Yeah. And it is above an elevation of 5,000 feet.
What if it's at the Coors Light Brewery?
That would be awesome. Like inside one of the tanks.
Yeah. It's $2 million and right. the deed to the Coors Light facility.
Since he started it, he has been releasing an extra clue, real roughly one per year.
Oh.
In addition to the 9 that are included in the rhyme. We will obviously put it in the link dump.
Absolutely.
So that
if you find it,
involved,
you have to share a little bit, though.
Yeah, absolutely. If you find it as a result of finding out about it with us, that's a 50-50 split easily.
Absolutely.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And by listening to this podcast, you agree. It's legally binding. It's legally binding.
Terms and conditions right. apply.
So yeah, right. the additional clues is that the treasure is higher than 5,000 above sea level. These are the non-interpretive clues. It's 5,000 above sea level. There is no need to dig up old outhouses. The treasure is not associated with any structure.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. The treasure is not in a graveyard because apparently there were some people that were doing some things that they shouldn't be doing.
Oh, no.
Desecration would
graveyard.
Be that word.
And the treasure is not hidden in Idaho or Utah. So,
okay, well, that does narrow it down because Utah and Idaho, they're huge.
Yeah. I think this is one of those things that the guy's like 86 years old now, and it's
he
been a number of years.
He
wants
it.
Somebody to find it during his lifetime because he otherwise would have thrown $2 million in a hole.
This reminds me of the finals Instagram picture round where we thought it was really clever, but then it ended up being too hard.
Way too hard.
And then this guy's probably like, oh, man, this seems really fun, and I'm going to love this, but. Oh,
yeah,
man.
It's way
it's
too
all right, guys,
hard.
Joke's over. Here's the X.
Right. So this is, have either one of you read or seen Ready Player One?
I have not.
Okay. No. Well, it's pretty much the premise of the book is that old guy puts a bunch of money somewhere and then hides it as a scavenger hunt for everybody. And basically for the 5 years after the guy's death, when he announces it to the world, nobody can find it or make any progress on it whatsoever.
Oh,
it's like way too hard.
You know what? I think there's a fair amount of brain power in this room and this company.
Yeah.
Company retreat. Okay. Start in Colorado. Let's go do this.
Well, I think first thing is
we
start by reading. You're going to murder him.
I'm just kidding.
If you find it or just if you go into the woods with him.
All of the above.
You kill one of your two Eagle Scouts, really? Me and Nick got this covered. It's on the wilderness side.
Technically, this is one of those scenarios where, you know, you only really need one.
That's true. That's true. Actually, no, I've said this before. In a zombie apocalypse, I would not be helpful.
Yeah.
Sure you would. Lindsay, go that way.
I'd be really good at making spreadsheets of supplies that we would need that we couldn't have.
I tell you what, at this point, we have a number of listeners to the podcast, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We have a non-zero number of people that listen to the podcast.
Yes.
I think this is something we should all do together.
Try to find the treasure?
We should all try to find the treasure together. I mean, obviously, there may be some listeners that are out somewhere around the Rocky Mountains. There's a lot of incredibly smart people that play trivia at all of the markets we do this in.
Pretty much
we are all, as a whole, smarter than we are as an individual.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I think we should set up like a Facebook page or something, and everybody can be invited to it, and everybody can share their information on it. And then if we find it, we split ways with everybody who's a member of the site on the day that we find it.
All right, you set
it
up.
All right.
You set it up. I will not participate except hit join group and then take the money.
Done and done.
Okay. So,
you're
going to
be pissed off when I create this page and it has more likes than the district trivia page, aren't you?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, no, that's all I got. So I will try to get to that before this episode airs. I only got 3 days, but I will try to make it happen over the weekend. So therefore, the link to it will
you
be included.
You don't have 3 days because this is this
on
other
the page.
Episode.
So, anywho.
I have bonus fact.
Oh, do you have a bonus fact?
Quick bonus fact.
Sure.
Leftover Crayola crayons.
Yes.
What are they called?
Nubs.
Oh God. Oh. I've been to the Crayola factory. I've been there during the process of making. Oh man. Oh.
I don't know.
I just broke Nick.
Oh God.
I'm happy that you broke Nick, but I'm also mad because I was doing my close up speech. So this better be good. And it is to see him suffer.
Give it. Yeah. Go ahead.
Leftolas.
Leftolas.
I thought that was very nice.
Cool.
I hate myself.
Leftolas. Aye, aye, aye. Okay. This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
We don't know either.
Bye.